Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' big win over the New York Knicks, 122-95. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, the Warriors certainly got on track against a bad team, the New York Knicks, and they end up blowing them out. And, in the end, it was bench players on the floor, which is always fun to see. And the thing that stood out to me about this game, Ray, was that Klay Thompson really got himself going. Just looked like he was looking for his shot. He was setting his feet. He had his confidence going. I mean, that's the real Klay Thompson right there. I don't know who that imposter was for a while, for a few weeks, but 43 points and 7 of 16 on threes. That was really a great sight to see.
Yeah, Klay would like to know who that imposter is as well. But he's feeling good. He's feeling confident now. He's always been a confident shooter. Maybe a little bit of doubt crept into his head and maybe a little bit of irritation as well because he's been such a consistently great shooter in his career. You know, he'll have an awful night like anybody who shoots from distance will have. But to have an extended slump like that, I'm sure it rankled him. But he's back to being Klay. And, you know, going up against the Knicks certainly helped in that regard. They're one of the poorest defensive teams in the NBA. But, yeah, he got it going. And I've said it before, I mean, with a guy like Klay, and we've seen it over the years, once he breaks out of that slump, he can be a holy terror. And I think he's at that point again. And that's been one of the things that's been missing for the Warriors in the first half of the year, along with Steph missing time, along with Draymond missing time, Damian Jones getting hurt, so they're a little weak at the center position. But also they've had some guys who've had down years, and that includes Klay from three-point range. But despite all that, you know, here they are halfway through the season, and they're right near the top of the Western Conference, and they got Denver coming up here in a few games.
Thought the other part of this game that stood out to me was the fact that Draymond Green, even though he didn't score much, he had 2 points, he was really making plays. He had 10 assists. He was finding Klay. I mean, Steph was finding Klay as well. They were really looking for him. But Draymond was making plays that's another element that's been missing from the Warriors. I mean, those plays that you're used to seeing where he drives to the basket and he finds somebody, and he just seemed a lot more confident in pushing the ball up the floor, and he also chipped in with 11 rebounds as well.
Yeah, that's the kind of game where Draymond can be effective, and he doesn't need to score when Klay's got it going or Curry's got it going or Durant's got it going. And Durant had a quiet night, but still pretty impressive numbers. So, I mean, that's where he fits into the Warriors. And, you know, not only bringing the ball up and at the top of the key, but also from the block, passing from the block.
Yeah.
Probably would have had more assists if the Warriors didn't miss so many open shots in the first half. I mean, as much of a blowout as it was, it actually could have been worse. So, this is the Warriors that we're used to seeing. But again, it was against the Knicks. They've had so many struggles in so many games this year against all opponents because there's so much more parity in the NBA. Everybody can shoot, so that gap is kind of closed. So it was kind of refreshing to have a night where you could actually rest the starters in the final 5 or 6 minutes.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro Heating and Air contractors have a solid reputation for having thorough knowledge of residential heating and air conditioning systems, as well as commercial HVAC systems. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Steph Curry had 14 assists and one turnover. I mean, that's not a ratio you're going to see very often from anybody in the NBA. But, you know, he really handled the ball well. He was finding people all over the place. He wasn't shooting the way he normally does from three. But, I mean, that's just a great game to see from a guy who's trying to facilitate the offense.
Oh, yeah. Steve Kerr would take that ratio every single time. It's not going to happen, of course. But that's a point of emphasis and always is. Cutting down on the turnovers because the Warriors give up a pretty high number as far as opponents' points off turnovers. They're one of the worst in the league in that regard. If they could tighten that up just a little bit. Now, understanding the way they play and as they try to increase the pace and try to move the ball around, you're going to have mistakes. You're going to have some turnovers, but make it a little less damaging. They're able to do that, play a little bit better defensively, and, of course, a little bit more depth with DeMarcus Cousins coming up. You know, as much as they've flailed around and lost some disturbing games at home to several opponents, they've gotten whacked by a few teams, and then there was that loss that they kicked away against Houston, and we were there last week. Despite all of that, we say it every year. Anybody can remember a loss in December? You know, it's just the way the NBA is. It's like 7 months or 8 months become 7 years or 8 years. It's that time ratio. So these guys have been through all of that before. But they've got some challengers this year. There's no doubt about it. But I think the big story, the big storyline in the second half is how DeMarcus Cousins is going to fit in.
Yeah, and that's the big story here on Tuesday as the news came out that he's expected to play for the Warriors on January the 18th. So that's 10 days from now against the Clippers. And, you know, I give the Warriors a lot of credit because they resisted the urge to put Cousins in there maybe a little sooner because things weren't going well at the center position. But you didn't want to rush him back. I mean, he's coming back from an Achilles injury. They wanted to make sure he's close to 100%, you know, moving well and that he was going to fit in at the right time. So I give them a lot of credit. A lot of teams, I think, might have had him in there sooner, and I think this was the right approach. What do you think?
Yeah, well, this was a team that's not going to rush somebody like this for a couple of reasons. Out of concern for the player, who's at a very critical point in his career, by the way. He was looking for that big payday, and then this Achilles injury happened a year ago. You know, it's been a full year. That's how devastating the injury is. But also, I think that to kind of get used to the locker room, to work his way back slowly, and they're at a point where even though they're kind of scuffling to the top of the Western Conference, and you know, that's relatively speaking, they're scuffling compared to previous years. They're still right there. So there's not a lot of panic in this team to rush somebody like this back, knowing it would do more harm than good for both the team and the player. So I like it that they've taken their time. I thought maybe by Christmas, but if it's January 18th, so be it. You know, and then when you have him in the lineup, you start accounting for some of the minutes they've lost at the five with Damian Jones out, and you get certainly a very different type of player, a much better offensive player. But also you can put Draymond at the four more, and I think that influences how they look defensively and how the bench is going to look as well. And if he's playing well, that bench becomes much stronger too, and I think that's the way they're going to start him out with the second unit and maybe stagger him with Curry or something like that. But it seems like personality-wise, he's mixed in pretty well. And we know he has that reputation of being pretty volatile, but I tend to think he's a pretty smart guy, at least when it comes to his career. And this is one year where he's going to do his level best to try to fit in and show that he can be a championship-type player. And then the big payday will come.
Well, it seems like the appearance that he's given is that he's a really good teammate so far, even though he hasn't played a game yet. But when you saw Damian Jones coming over to him and talking to him and you know, DeMarcus going to him and giving advice, and same thing with Kevon Looney. I mean, I saw it even tonight. He went to the bench and immediately started talking to DeMarcus. You know, so you see that he's been a good teammate to these guys, helping out some of the big men, and I think that's going to really have a lasting effect.
Well, I think that's something that will resonate throughout the league, too, as he tries to sign the new deal, that he's been a pretty good mentor to these younger players. The two big questions I have about him coming back are, you know, if he's not going to be the focus of this offense, how's he going to handle that? And number two, this is a team that likes to get up and down the floor. And this is a guy coming back from an Achilles injury who's a big guy to begin with. I wouldn't call him a plotter, but he's not a guy who runs the floor as well as some big men in the league. You know, he can shoot from three. He's a gifted offensive player. And when he wants to, he can be a good defender as well. But, you know, exactly how do they define his role? How does he fit into that role? And how does he fit into the way this team's going to play? He's a guy in a half court. When things bog down, he's another weapon that spreads out the defense. You'll like that. But I just wonder those two things about him, you know, that he's not going to be the number one scorer and that he's going to play on a team that likes to pick up the pace. How is he going to handle that? It sounds like at first, you know, it was a bit of a struggle, but he's been going through scrimmages now, and that's part of the reason I think they've been really building him up so he gets in top shape. And Steve Kerr mentioned it, you know, it's not your normal injury. This Achilles, it's not only about feeling better again, but putting stress on that Achilles and cutting and stopping that you do so much in the NBA. And so all this has got to be tested out at some point. And it sounds like, according to the Mark Spears report from ESPN, it's going to be in about 10 days.
For me, I think he's really going to have to show that he could play defense, because that's the area where the Warriors were getting exposed by some of these centers where, you know, they get the ball inside and there was nobody there that could play defense. So that's where I think he could make a big difference against the Steven Adams of the world, that it just seemed like they had their way with the Warriors. And I think that's what you want to see in the second half of the season.
Yeah. And you know, bottom line is it's another big body and they've been undersized against some of these guys. And that's one of the reasons that they've been exploited at the five. And so maybe that slows down a little bit. And really, this team is so talented. That's all they need is a little bit here, a little bit there. Talk about it. Just hold on to the basketball a little bit better. Make some more of those open shots you've been missing in the first half. Just a few more and get a couple more stops a game defensively. And that can make all the difference and make these games a little less of a struggle. So I put the poll out on Twitter at RayWoodson925 with Cousins, the Warriors will, and the choices were they will struggle all the way through to June or to the playoffs. They will struggle at first, but then they'll eventually win the ring, or that they will take off like a rocket on an extended hot streak. And right now, overwhelmingly in that poll, struggle at first, but eventually win the ring is winning out. I think it was close to 70%.
Yeah, I like that one. I think I'm on board with that. I think if they play, and again, you mentioned, I mean, they were playing the Knicks, but if they play the way they did on Tuesday, moving the basketball too, I mean, with Boogie, you know, that he's a good passer, and that's going to help as well. Just the ball movement was great. I mean, they had over 30 assists, and that's what they're always looking for. And they were just being unselfish, and you know, there wasn't so much of the one-on-one basketball that was really kind of bothering people. I mean, even Durant, he was making a concerted effort to move the ball around, and I think that was very enjoyable and noticeable that that's what they were making a concerted effort to do.
That's what we were not seeing in the second half against Houston last week, right? It was a lot of iso ball. And, you know, this team is best when it flows, when the ball's moving around and you put more pressure on the defense. And I just think there's some things going on with this team. You know, when you got star players and you've got guys working through shooting issues, you know, there's a tendency to try a little hard sometimes and to try to take it on your own shoulder. And, you know, I was joking about that Houston game that maybe Durant looked up at the box score in the fourth quarter and saw he only had 12 shots in the game. So he started taking matters into his own. And that's, you know, that's the superstar mentality anyways. I got to put this on my back. But you got Steph Curry there, man. And I've said before and I say it again, it sounds pretty obvious, but sometimes it doesn't look that way. But this is Steph's team. And, you know, there are nights that Clay's going to be hot. There's nights that Durant's going to be hot. But you got to get the ball to Steph one way or the other. Now, there's the big argument about whether he should be playing off the ball, but that he gets his threes that way. Well, that's not really true. He gets it on the ball as well when he's handling and breaking down people, or he's initiating the high pick and roll and loosening up the defense that way. But, you know, the point being that I think they've gotten away from it a little bit, as they do sometimes. He's such a good team player that he doesn't make a stink about it. But, you know, we thought when Durant got here, remember, that he kind of subjugated himself to make sure that Durant fit in. That's the kind of team player and leader he is. But there are times, I think, and we're getting to that time where it's got to be his team again. He's the most effective offensive player in the NBA when he's right. So it's not to, you know, downplay Durant at all, because he's unbelievable. And he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And he put together a couple of the finest games I've ever seen in the finals the last couple of years. He's been the MVP. But I think at the end of the day, and I hate using that phrase, at the end of the day, but I did it, so I got to own it. Anyway, it's Steph's team.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Let's hear what Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say after the win over the Knicks.
I thought it was a good game defensively. I think we benefited from the road trip that New York is on right now. I think they've been on the road 15 days and brutal schedule, and they looked tired in the second half. I thought they made a really good push in the first half to cut into our lead and then even take the lead themselves. But I think they ran out of gas. But with that said, I thought we had some really good moments defensively too.
Here's a little bit from Klay Thompson after his 43-point game on Tuesday night against the New York Knicks.
I just thought I was getting good shots. I was in a good rhythm to start the game. Have been these last few games. And what it's like, I mean, it's the best feeling on a basketball court, especially when you propel your team to a win, when you get one of those zones. They don't happen very often. So when you do enter them, you try to just stay in them as long as you can and, you know, get great looks every time down the floor.
That's Klay Thompson, and you heard from Steve Kerr. Coming up, more Dubs OT in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Let's talk about what happened with Patrick McCaw, because now he's an unrestricted free agent. A couple of days ago, the Cavs waived him. The NBA is looking into the circumstances surrounding the stint that he had with the Cavaliers. I'm not sure what the Warriors are going to get out of this, but the Warriors, they requested this review. So how do you see this playing out with McCaw? It's a very strange situation.
Yeah, somebody went through a back channel. It's a little weird how it turned out to where McCaw gets the offer, but I mean the upshot was, sounds like he just wanted to get free of the Warriors somehow and become an unrestricted free agent, and that's how it gets done. But the Warriors are sitting there saying, hey, you know, he was an RFA, you know, shouldn't we get some compensation? I think is what they're thinking about this. So it'd be very interesting to see how the NBA kind of investigates that and what they come up with. But it's if it turns out there was some sort of shenanigans there or ill intent, and you just look at it on the surface, the Warriors have to get some kind of compensation. This whole thing with McCaw is a mess, and I don't, you know, who's representing him? I have to go back and check who's representing him, but this may kill his career.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, who his agent is, but you're right. I mean, it just seems fishy. And maybe the Warriors get something out of this. I mean, I'm sure they're thinking about maybe a draft pick. Monty Poole actually tweeted something about that from NBC Sports Bay Area, that it wasn't out of the question. So, I mean, you have to hope that that's the case.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it turns out to be what it looks like, yeah, they should get something back. You know, I mean, McCaw's end, I guess he just wanted to be a free agent and try again with some other team. But now you look at this and the way it was handled by his side, is this the kind of player and, you know, the kind of situation that you want to take on? Are you that much in need? Does he bring that much to the table? And, you know, he was a contributor for sure the first couple of years. And I thought it was great that they bought his draft pick and brought him on. And he did bring something to the table for a guy who was drafted in the middle of the second round and actually had some big moments in the 2017 finals, as I recall, 2018 finals, I should say. But, you know, a replaceable player at this point in his career. I'm glad he came back and was healthy after that terrible spill he took in Sacramento last year. But, you know, in that regard, I wish him well. But I would say that it was a very sour end to so-so career with the Warriors.
The Warriors were fortunate that Alphonso McKinney has kind of stepped into that role. I mean, he made a nice three on Tuesday. Yeah. And, yeah, every time I look at the box score, he has four or five rebounds when he plays. He doesn't play a lot of minutes. But, I mean, this guy seems to be all over the floor. I think he's getting the most out of his talent. And that's, you know, what you really ask out of a player like that who wasn't, you know, really somebody that was on the Warriors' radar a couple of years ago. But here he is, and he's contributing.
Well, you're really happy when a player like that, who's fought to get to this point, gets the contract guaranteed for the rest of the year. So I know he's really happy about that. It's a real good accomplishment for him. And that sounds a little condescending, but no, it isn't. I mean, it's great for him, and I'm real happy for him. And he has contributed. Yeah, he's had his ups and downs, and there are times he's going to get exposed. He's relatively inexperienced. But I'll tell you what, I like his upside better than McCaw's. I mean, McCaw could defend, for sure, and he was in and out as far as a three-point shooter. You know, early in his career with the Warriors, he was hesitant to shoot. But McKinney doesn't show that hesitancy. I mean, he's going to fire it up when the shot is there. That's what the Warriors like to see. When the shot is there, when you're open, fire away, because, you know, don't be scared that you're in the presence of three of the greatest shooters in league history. Should belong here. And there are many nights where he has. And the other thing I love about him is he's a real good rebounder. Tremendous hops, and he's also one of those guys, and the Warriors need these guys who will fight for the 50-50 ball.
It's so hard when you don't have your contract guaranteed, too. I mean, I would imagine that was on his mind every day when he showed up at the arena. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be here. My contract isn't guaranteed. Now he could just, you know, sort of relax in a way, at least as far as that's concerned, just concentrate on basketball, not worry about that.
And I think that that's part of the thinking in giving him that guaranteed contract. It's like, you're on the squad now. You're part of us. So go out and do what you do. And I think the hope is that he will now play with even more confidence. You know, there were times where I think his confidence sagged a little bit. There were times where he looked like a very confident player, that he was growing. But, you know, you don't feel comfortable in the league until you get that guaranteed contract. So now he can kind of spread his wings. At least we hope so.
Warriors play another struggling team on Friday, the Chicago Bulls. They're 10-30. They've lost four games in a row. So it's a chance to, you know, really get well and start, you know, playing the kind of basketball you want to play, because coming up, the Warriors schedule really features a lot of road games, right? I mean, they have that one home game with the Pelicans coming up next Wednesday. But other than that, a bunch of road games. I mean, six of the next seven, I believe, after the Bulls game, I see seven of the next eight on the road.
Yeah, they're coming home for one game against the Pelicans, then back out on the road for, I think, five. And there are going to be some tough games in there, including Boston.
Yeah.
So, the three games that I'm circling this month, though, are at Denver, for obvious reasons, at the Clippers, because it looks like that's when Cousins comes back. And those have been really good games this year. The last one was terrific. Curry won it on a last-second layup. And then at Boston, one of the top teams in the East, that's getting ready to farm some more first round draft choices coming up in June, top of everything else, and they're one of the better defensive teams in the league. So it's a good tester of a month for the Warriors, but I think they're in a better place now mentally, and having Cousins join will you would hope give them a spark as they go on this long road trip. This is a get through it month, and if they're able to get through it. Right near the top of the Western Conference standings again. If they're within a game or so, I think they're going to win the West during the regular season and get that top seed again.
Lakers, by the way, are on that schedule as well, and LeBron James has been out, and that definitely has affected them. They're not playing as well without LeBron James, of course.
No. The guy I like on that team is Kuzma. He's real skilled offensively and very athletic. He's not a great defender, but I look at all the hype around Lonzo Ball and all that, but Kuzma's the guy that I enjoy seeing night in, night out, who can have some big games, as we know. But no, without LeBron, and he got hurt against the Warriors, of course, and it was the kind of injury I think Steph had a while back that kept him out for about a dozen games. So that's what we're looking at with LeBron. The Lakers are there in the mix, they've faded a little bit, but everybody's so close in the West. I was looking this morning, I think seven teams within 3.5 games. It's crazy. And, you got a few other teams battling for the seventh and eighth spots, including Sacramento, which, by the way, the Kings lost to Phoenix and blew a 21-point lead. Ouch. But, you can't be losing those games.
No.
And what a show, by the way, last time the Warriors were in Sacramento. NBA record 41 three-pointers.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, some of these games now, just so many threes. And mm-hmm. when was the last time you checked the standing so much in January? I mean, it's kind of like, this is sort of like a baseball season where there's a pennant race and you check the standings all the time. Because in the NBA, I know for me, Ray, I don't really check the standings that often, at least in recent years with the Warriors. But this year, it seems like it's kind of fun to look at it a lot more often.
Well, I did check it last year because Houston was there, and they eventually did win during the regular season. And by the way, they tweeted it out, I think, with a meme of champagne bottle or something like that. It's like, okay, enjoy your regular season conference championship. That means zero, zippo, until you get to the deep part of the playoffs, and they ended up missing 27 threes in a row, and the rest is history. But I am watching, all the way down the standings now.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
And Steph said it, they're getting a challenge every night. He likes it. It's something a little different this year. It's not the same old, but I kind of enjoyed the same old, where they were blowing teams out in the third quarter and they were playing lockdown defense at times. They're not doing that so much this year, but it's every year is different. Every storyline and script is different. And this is a different script this year. And again, we're only halfway through the season, the regular season, or as Clay said, halfway is a third for us. So hopefully got a long way to go here.
Thanks, Ray, and look forward to talking to you about the Warriors road trip next week.
All right, bring on Boogie.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.